Well, good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to y'all. What an adventure during the song service, right? You know, when you play music in a band, the trick is you just go with it. Just whatever's on there, just sing it, and typically works out. So anyway, but I was really pleased with that last song selection because I feel like it really dovetails quite nicely into the message that I have prepared for you today. So what is my motivation? What's my motivation? You know, you hear actors kind of joke about that sometimes, right? They're trying to get into their role, and they're trying to sort of figure out how they're going to best play the character that they're learning. And they ask this question, what's my motivation? Now, why are they even asking that question? Because even though it's, you know, typically a joke, it actually is coming from a serious place. If you know the motivation of somebody or the character that you're trying to play, then you can truly better embody that character. You can make people believe you're actually that person. And the reason that works is because that is reality. We all have motivations, and they inform our identity. Okay, they make us, it's a pillar, one of the foundations of who we are, is what our motivation is. So said differently, why do people do what they do? Have you ever sat alone and tried to honestly assess why you do what you do? It can be a very helpful exercise to contemplate this question. So since we're in church, let's ask this question. Why do you keep God's commandments? What's your motivation? Is it because you feel you have to, or is it because you want to? You feel like you have to, or is it because you want to? Now, to help explain what I mean, here are some reasons that might motivate people's religious behavior. I've got, I think, 6 or 7 of them here, so we'll go through them. It might be because you're afraid of death and think you can earn your salvation. Is that a good reason? It might be because you're looking to receive rewards and blessings from God. Maybe it's because it's just expected of you and you're afraid of disappointing other people. Maybe you keep God's commandments because you feel you'll be punished if you don't and you'd rather avoid the pain. Maybe it's just because it's the way I was raised. It's just who I am. It's cultural. Is that a good reason? Maybe it's because you think that doing these things makes you better than other people. And the last one I have on this list is maybe you do these things and you keep God's commandments because it makes you feel special, like you're a member of an exclusive club. All these are bad reasons, all of them. And why? Because they're all focused on self. They're all about you. If you're doing these things, you're doing them for you. You're doing them for yourself. So what is a good reason to obey God? What is a good reason to keep his commandments? Well, the good reason is because you love him and you want to make him happy. Your obedience is then focused on God, not on yourself. You're doing these things for him. So remember, your motivation speaks to who you really are. It informs your identity. And here's the danger that you need to watch out for. If you follow the rules, meaning obey God's commandments, without a loving relationship with God and Jesus Christ, it can easily turn into something that feels like a business relationship, kind of like one of the reasons I already mentioned. Well, I'm doing this to get blessed. I'm doing this for the rewards that I'm going to receive. Or it could turn into one of self-righteousness. Just think about the Pharisees. They thought they were better than everybody else, right? Everyone looked up to them as the religious authorities, and they really valued that status. It's possible to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Or you can obey God from a place of love and intimacy with your Creator. So here's the main point of the message today, brethren. A loving relationship with God is key to living a successful Christian life. So I'll say that one more time. A loving relationship with God is key to living a successful Christian life because it gives you the right motivation. And you may have other reasons for doing what you do, but that's like running a car on the wrong fuel. It might work for a while, but it will ultimately harm the engine and ultimately ruin it. I'll tell a quick story. This is probably 10, 15 years ago now. I bought a Mercury. It was the nicest car that I ever bought, and I wanted to treat it really well. So I decided instead of regular unleaded gasoline, I was going to put in plus, just a little bit better. So I put in the plus gasoline. I'm driving the car. I'm so proud of myself and taking such great care of my car. And then I read the manual. It says, don't put anything except regular unleaded or else it'll mess up the sensors in the car. And I mean, great, I paid more money to mess my car up. So you have to run the car in the right fuel. just like you have to run your life on the right motivations. So today, let's explore your part in cultivating a loving relationship with God. So how do we get to the place where our motivation truly is out of love for God and not for maybe some of those other reasons? How do we cultivate this personal relationship? Well, as we dive in, I think it's helpful to recognize a few fundamental truths. First, let's just be clear on what a personal relationship is. It is a two-way street of interaction. It is dynamic. It's always changing. It takes time. It means spending time together, communicating, listening, speaking, and means doing things together. So how that might manifest in our life is prayer, Bible study, meditation, worship, joining with God in his activities, doing his work. So I think that's all pretty clear and pretty basic. But next, let's recognize that the Bible says that God is our Father. That's the other reality I want to point us to. So we can ask the following questions. So God is our Father. What did you deserve to be born? What did you do to deserve to be born? Did you earn your existence in any way? Are you owed the life that you're currently experiencing now? The answer is no. Your life was a gift, and the odds that you specifically exist are infinitesimally small. It's like winning the lottery 100 times in a row. I mean, just think about all the little different events that had to happen and be just right for your mom and dad to meet, to fall in love, for you to be born, and for you specifically to actually exist. It's so small. It's infinitesimally small. So let's be humble. Let's recognize that reality. So let's be humble about that and grateful for the life that we've been given. And I think that's a good way to start a relationship with God, and to continue in one with him is with humility and gratitude. So brethren, for our first scripture, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. This is a scripture that talks about our relationship with God and certain things that we must have in order to maintain and grow that relationship. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, everyone's going to recognize this one. It's the love chapter in the Old Testament, 1 Corinthians 11 through 13. It says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." Now who's the Apostle Paul talking about exactly? "Now I see you face to face," right? "I'm not seeing you in a mirror dimly." He's talking about God. Okay, he's talking about the future. So we see in a mirror dimly, face to face. We don't completely know God 100%, right? It says, "Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." That's pretty amazing. You're going to know God in the same way that he already knows you. I mean, he knows you perfectly, doesn't he? So that's an amazing statement right there. And then the Apostle Paul goes on in verse 13 to say, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." So once again, the scripture talks about how we relate to God and how that changes as you grow up, as you grow from a child to an adult. And you can only know God the way he knows you once you've gone through a process of development, in the same way that a child grows up into an adult. And the process does require that you have these three things that he mentioned, faith, hope, and love, and grow in these three things. And all these take time to develop. You can't just flip a switch and just, you know, I've got it. It takes time. So, brethren, many times we can learn spiritual lessons by drawing analogies to the physical reality that we see around us. So since God is our Father, we know that, let's examine the relationship of love between a child and their parents and how that grows and changes over time. So how does a child relate to their parents initially? Well, when you're a child, you're incapable of taking care of yourself. You can't do it. So your parents, they sort of set down rules, right, to help you as part of your training and growing. And it's very simple. Obedience to these rules brings rewards. Disobedience brings punishment. That's very simple. And sometimes you don't like to follow the rules, but there are significant and serious consequences for not following the rules, or they do give you rewards sometimes when you do follow the rules. They're commands. They're not suggestions. All right? And the other thing about it is when you're a little kid, you don't really know your parents very well, right? They're these huge, giant human beings that know everything And you're like, how did they know that I hid cookies under my bed? You know, they're like God to you, right? Like, how do they know? They're so awesome. You don't know them that well, right? But the rules that they give you a clue into who they are. Because depending on what the rule is, and depending on how they react when you either break or follow the rules, you understand what's important to them. So it's a reflection a little bit of their character, right? So in a similar way, God gave the Israelites 10 commandments. And they weren't the 10 suggestions. They were the 10 commandments. And it helped Israel understand a little bit about God's character and who he really is. So the child continues to get older. You get a little bit older. You become a young adult. And you realize that actually no one can stop you from doing certain things, and you're old enough and responsible enough to make your own decisions. So you might make decisions when you're in that stage of life that make your parents upset, angry, disappointed. And maybe you really don't care. You don't care what they think. But your parents still love you, despite the fact that you're making mistakes, despite your foolishness, and they hope you change your ways. Life goes on. You get a little bit older. You continue to grow. Now you have your own kids. And you come to appreciate your parents in a brand new way. Because being a parent is hard. You sacrifice for your children. You lose sleep over them. You worry about them. And you love them so much that you think your heart is going to break because it can't hold all the love you have in there for your child. And you want the best for them. You want them to be healthy, happy, successful, responsible, and protected. So what do you start doing? You start laying down rules, right? And then you go, wait a second. Maybe my parents were onto something. Maybe they were smarter than I've been giving them credit for all these years. And you see the wisdom and the value of the rules, right? And then you get older, and you start to know your parents on a more level playing field, because now you're all full-fledged adults, right? And you get to that point where you just appreciate spending time with them. You just like spending time with your mom and dad, laughing, talking, you know, eating food, doing things together, and showing how much you love and appreciate them for all the things that they did for you growing up. So you see that there's a continuum here in that story that we just went through, starting with mandatory rule following. Mandatory, right? And then, as it goes on, it turns into voluntary rule following because you see the wisdom and the value of those rules. The rules didn't change, but your motivation changed. And with that, you changed as well. So what parents really want is to have a loving relationship with their kids. So following the rules are important, but that's not the purpose of your existence. And just think about it. If all you did was just follow the rules and you didn't do anything else with your parents, they might not believe you really love them because all you're doing is just the bare minimum, just following the rules, but you don't do anything else to show them that you love them. You don't do anything for them. I think this is how we should view God's commandments and instructions. Your loving relationship with God should motivate your obedience, and it also should motivate more than just basic commandment keeping. We don't need to turn there, but I'll reference it. It's a short scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, "Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So when we think about all the things that God has done for us and continues to do for us, we recognize his love. We recognize his love for us. And we make the choice to love God back. And as we come to know him more, we come to love him more. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love God because he first loved us." And that certainly is true. So to sort of drive home that point, to start to conclude this message, let's all turn together to 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ," or the Messiah, "is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot," so that would be the Father, he's the one who begot, "also loves him who is begotten of him." So you'll also love Jesus Christ. And you'll also love other beings who are begotten of God. Verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God," so that's us, "when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So when we get to that spot where we are looking back and we're seeing the wisdom and the value of those rules that our Heavenly Father has given us, we do them, and we love to do them. We do them because we want to, not necessarily because we have to. So in conclusion, brethren, what is your motivation? What's a good reason to obey God? Because you love him and you want to make him happy. You do these things for him. Any benefits you might receive from obedience are not the main focus. I'm not saying they're not real. Of course they are, but they're not the main focus. So a loving relationship with God is key to living a successful Christian life because it gives you the right motivation and thereby affects your identity. So God certainly wants a relationship with you, with every single one of us, and he will do his part. Our part in this mission is to be humble and grateful for your life, to spend time with him, to communicate, to take action, to obey his commandments, and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. You will then grow in your relationship of love towards God when you do these things. And this will lead to that glorious day when we shall know God to the same level and same degree that he knows us.